Simcha. Alright, so we're in revolving here. Okay, so last week we spoke about basically that in order for there to be simcha, there has to be nigudim, there has to be opposites. And we spoke about the three types of opposites, correct? I think we mentioned the grow, that was the last, about the pasuk of the grow, that simcha is getting the feeling of being close to a tafkin, right? To a purpose. The feeling of getting close, that. We didn't say the grow?
I don't think so.
We didn't say the grow?
No, we left off.
I mentioned the pasuk in Megillah. I'm sure I did. You remember mentioned it's a pasuk in Megillah.
You did mention Megillah, simcha, but says something.
And I explained the grow. What simcha means? The difference between simcha and sasa.
To get close to a purpose.
You have to have a spirit. I mentioned that. So now we're going to read further in Revolbi, and this is the next paragraph, and we'll see. I think we'll finish this whole paragraph today. These next three paragraphs. Let's see. Okay, next bit. Vagshamim, rain, hem hashpat. Hashamayim ala aretz. Rain is, we did this in when we're dealing with tefillah, is the influence of the heaven on the earth. Right? I mean, we already know that from tefillah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hamayim ha'elyonim, the upper waters, scharim, are male. Do you know upper waters are male?
I did not.
Does that make sense to you?
It does not.
Why are you so quiet, you guys?
It makes sense in what you were saying on last week.
Conceptually, right?
About the expressor and the expressee.
Right, okay. So there's something called upper waters, which is going to be the expressor, right? Now remember talking about heaven and earth, right? Vahatachtonim, and the lower waters, nekeva, are female. Hen omrim, they say, elu le'elu, these to these, Kiblu otanu, accept us.
That last sentence.
These to these, the upper waters say to the lower waters, accept us.
Okay. The waters are talking.
Talking waters, right? Not even Aesop's fables, right? This is Judaism here. The waters are talking to each other. Makes sense? I told you, you guys need to sleep some more.
This makes sense.
Hello, this makes sense.
I'm not
into it.
Conceptually.
Yeah.
What do you mean not into it?
The whole everything being male and female. I don't experience that or see that. So I struggle with that a bit in general.
Okay, let's read the Revolbi. So now we're going. So now we hear, they say to each other, Kiblu otanu. So now, this is an agarata. Right? Obviously. So now, a galata has to be understood. Atem briotav, right? So now, let's try and understand this. So we have the upper waters. We have the lower waters. Now, if you learn a bit of Chumash, what do you have in between the upper waters and the lower waters? So the creation of heavens and earth, you have the rakia that separates them. God, if we were to learn Chumash, we'd understand a bit more, but it's separating them. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu separated the upper waters and the lower waters. We somehow see that the desire of the upper waters is to connect with the lower waters. And the upper waters are telling the lower waters, accept us. That means our piteva, normally, we don't get, there's no acceptance. So there's something of not acceptance here, of the hashpa, or of the influence of the upper waters on the lower waters, right? So there's a non-acceptance, and the desire of the upper waters to the lower waters is saying to them, what? Accept us. Yes? Okay, that's the first thing. Now, how they can convince them to accept us? So there's a non-acceptance. A priori, there's a non-acceptance of the female to the male. Okay, that's the nigudim.
Nigudim,
those things which we spoke about before, the kenegdo. There's a non-acceptance. So now, there's a convincing line here. Atem briotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'anachnu shluchav. and we are the upper waters, his messengers. Miyad hem mekabli motan. Straight away they accept them. And that's what it says in the Pasuk. V'tifta ha'aretz. And the land opens out. Kenekeva, like a female, she potachat lezachar. She opens herself up to the male. And there's an acceptance. Hare, says Revolbi, Hagshamim hem hizdavgut shamayim v'aretz. They're the connections of the heavens and the earth. V'kashahem yordim, and when they come into the world, kor ha'olam smichim, the whole world is sameh, happy. L'chein, therefore, kor adam she'ein lo isha, person doesn't have a wife, sharui b'lo simcha, he has no real joy. She'ein lo imi litacher, he doesn't have one to become one with. Someone to become one with. That's the end of the, right? That's it. So he didn't explain to us, he doesn't explain to us what these nigudim are. He just says, accept us. And how is he accepting? I'm shluchav shel makom. We understand one other thing. We understand that this expression of the upper waters is God's way of interacting with the world, like we said in the Tfilah Shir, right? The Shefa, the influence the Kodesh Baruch Hu brings into the world is the Geshamim. And the Aretz is opening out to accept this Geshamim, right? That we say is done on the Tfilah. Here we're not talking about Tfilah, we're talking about Simcha, the process. The Geshamim is Simcha L'Olam. Why is Simcha? Because the world is coming to its Tachlis. What are the Nigudim that does not want to be this acceptance? How does that relate to us? What in life is there not the acceptance? What are these Nigudim? So remember last week's time we spoke about the Everest climb and we said that there's going to be challenges in life. What's normal for a person when he comes to a challenge? He comes to a difficulty in life. What's his normal reaction?
Give up.
Doesn't want them. Lohem velos haram, like Rabbi Yochanan says. Any difficulty in life, a person, his normal reaction is, I don't want them. I don't want these difficulties. Correct? When you get married, there's difficulties. Right? Before you were single, no problem. How much does it cost to live as a single guy? How much? Whatever salary you have is fine. He's married, he's laughing, right? Okay, you can tell us. Experience, right? When you're married, all of a sudden, the expenditure goes up. Tenfold, probably. Maybe that's...
There was always money before, and now there's not money.
Right. Don't tell these guys, they're nice, fresh guys.
We want It's all worth it.
Okay. So what's happening here? There's an obligations. In life, right, that's how life works out. What happens in life? There are difficulties in life. How do we approach those difficulties? How do we look at those difficulties? How? No? So again, so these difficulties are what? To bring us to a realization of that this is the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that it's there to bring us to a certain level of understanding and a certain direction in life, i.e. these difficulties are to direct us in life. So all life difficulties are to direct us. If we don't have difficulties in life, that's a bad sign. If life's easy, that's a bad sign. It's a bad sign. There's no involvement. There's no involvement of him in our lives, so to speak. We don't see him. What do you mean? Everything's going like halak, everything's like working out how it should be. There's no challenges in life. Then you're not growing. You're not pushing yourself.
There's no schar for a life with that one?
We're not living in Olam Haba. We're living in Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh, this world, is a world in which you overcome difficult and you're creative. The more we're climbing Everest. If you're not climbing Everest, one person told me this way. You know, we all have a Yetzirah. That's our biggest nigud, right? An aspect of ourselves that we're working on ourselves. If a person's not working against those aspects of self, he's not working. He's not growing. If he doesn't feel a difficulty, he doesn't feel a toil in his life, he's not growing. Life requires a toiling. With everything in life, there's a book, I've forgotten the name of it, that one of the boys had. I didn't read it, but I saw like the cover. It's like, basically, we don't use all of our faculties. People who are successful in the world are those people who work very hard. Doesn't matter in what. It's a chazal. Adam la'amal yula, the person was created to toil. That's what you're created to toil. To toil in this world to get to a higher level. If you don't toil, you're missing out on what this world's about. You're missing out. Now. Yeah.
So sometimes the goal to toil in a sense, to work hard for what we have, why do we pray to God for peace then?
Peace in what?
During
what do you mean
peace?
Sim Shalom, you mean?
Right.
Okay, let me mention another Gemara. It's a Chazal, it's Midrash, Rashi brings. So it says in Parshas Vayeshev, so it says, Bikesh Yaakov, the Sheva B'Shalva. Yaakov wanted to, you know, have a peaceful life. What do you mean a peaceful life? He wanted to be on Hawaii beach and sip a smoothie? No, you know. He wanted everything to work out with his children and things to work out. And he could sit and steig and learn Torah. To have a connection with his Creator. He wasn't talking about, you know, sipping a smoothie in the wise. He wanted to sit and learn Torah. What's wrong with that? Kafta alav, rogzo sel Esav. And then the whole story of Yosef came to place. It's a very hard chazal to understand. What's wrong with a tzaddik wanting shalva? What's wrong with this world being a world of shalva? What's wrong? It's missing out on the world. This world, if you're in a makom of shalva, you're not growing. This is a world of growing. This is a world of growth. You can't grow without difficulties in life. You can't grow. Or you bring them on you by toiling yourself, or God will bring them on you to make you toil. You with me? It says, another Gemara. Gemara says, Shlosha matanot tovot, three good presents HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Eluhem, these are them. It's Gemara and Brachas. Maybe getting the order right, wrong? Torah, or Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba. The land of Israel, Torah, learning Torah, and the world to come. The Kulam Niknin Ayadei Yisurim, all of them are bought with Yisurim. Hello? Let's listen to that Gemara again. Three presents the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us, and all three of them are bought with Yisurim. Hello? Didn't you say presents? How many presents have you bought in your life?
Many.
Presents that you got.
Oh, for myself?
No, that someone gave you.
Oh, none.
None. That's a little bit of a compliment, right? Yeah. A present you're given. A present you don't buy, right?
Few since I'm married, but...
So it says, okay, well, you're all right. Marriages have the difficulties, right? This is just not for you. Give these guys a few years and they'll get there, right? A present you don't buy. Why do these presents have to be bought with Isurim? Why do they have to be bought with difficulties? Why do you have to buy Torah? Torah is a present. Eretz Yisrael is a present. Olam Haba is a present. Why do you have to buy them with difficulties?
It's like giving someone a knife as a present. You got to make sure they're going to do the right things with it.
Yeah, but why? What's the board of difficulties? The vort, maybe, I'm not sure. Maybe the vort is, maybe the understanding is that these things are spiritual things. You are not a completely spiritual being. You're spiritual and you're physical. In order for you to be able to accept these spiritual presence, you have to perfect yourself. Perfect your spiritual self, that your physical part of you becomes more spiritual. that can only be done through toiling. So toiling and learning Torah, the Maharshal says, you learn Torah, like there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. How do you learn Torah? With a cup of tea and a piece of cake. I mean, that's how it's knowing in our yeshiva. Right? And you toil. But it says, Shulchan Aruch says, I'm not saying this is what we should be doing, it says, Ein divrei Torah mitkayim, the words of Torah aren't established, ele mi shemeimis atzmo aleha. He kills himself upon them. Lo yitein sheina le'ena v'tznuma l'afafa. He doesn't give sleep to his eyes or closingness to his eyelids. He's learning a piece of Gemara and he's going like this. And he's waking up and he's learning. Go to sleep, get up in the morning, you're nice and fresh. And learn Gemara. Why have to learn Gemara when you're half asleep? Why? Why have to sleep less? Why you have to be in semi-somnia? I'm not going to say that's what you should be doing. But why is it that way? Because you're breaking yourself. You're breaking your physical goof. The breaking of your physical goof is opening yourself to your spiritual. That's why when you get spiritual presence, you have to buy them. There has to be a breaking of the physical self. That's the toil. The toil and the reason for the nigudim is because a man's made with a spiritual and a physical self, and they're not compatible. The only way they're compatible, the nigudim, the opposites, there has to be a break. We have to bring the physical and make it more spiritual. Not get rid of it, not separate from it. We're not Buddhists. Bring it and make it more spiritual. We can have geshmak with our, we have a good time with our physical self. Our most spiritual days, we have challah and we have cake, right? We had a good dessert, right? It was great, wasn't it? Pretty physical, right? That's the most spiritual day. The days we have more spirituality, we connect. Eating becomes a mitzvah. We don't do it the whole week, unless you're Mochan Shlomo. But you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so that's the nigudim. We have to have those nigudim, there has to be a toil. And the only reason we're going to be toil if we understand that those are shluchav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those things are there in our lives for us to overcome them. And through the toiling and overcoming them, that's perfecting ourselves to be more, giving us the ability of accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives.
What is spiritual gifts again? I'm sorry.
Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba, the world to come. Right? A place for us to live, a way to us to live, and a final destination. Right?
Can you define what you mean by difficulties? Like, where on the spectrum between challenge and suffering is difficulty?
Suffering is also difficulties. A person, this is the difference, a person, if we believe in our Creator, right, and we believe that whatever level of difficulty a person gets in his life, right, now, obviously, we talk within a realm, we'll come back to maybe the question of the Holocaust, we say, I don't have difficulties about the Holocaust, and we can't answer that question, but as far as we're concerned, then this is where we're going to see that, in order to have Simcha, to believe that these are messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to have Emunah. There cannot be Simcha. Simcha can only come if I have an acceptance of these difficulties. And I realize that those are messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, I give myself the ability to work on them in order to overcome them and then get to that level of Simcha. That can only come if I believe that these difficulties came from Him. If I don't believe that my life has a direct influence from Him, then it could be that it just happened, I have this disability or this thing happened to him. It just happened to me. And then why should I be accepting that that's something that I should be overcoming? It's something that happened for no reason. You with me? So if we have that level of emunah, it depends each person on his level of emunah, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu somehow, it seems to be, if we believe, that gives each person his own level of difficulties based on who he is. According to that, every single difficulty a person has is not considered suffering. It's considered difficulty right. for him. Yeah.
But I still, so I still don't understand. Are we talking about like, you know, like free will and choices, like difficult choices, or are we talking about like stuff where like it seems that you are in like some type of pain, and you're overcoming that
pain?
Like, what's an example of a difficulty in your mind when you're describing these difficulties?
Okay, say I'll take an example. I'll take a very extreme example, and then we can relate it to like simple examples. Okay. Extreme example. You know, England, I think the Olympics are still on in England, right? I don't know, yeah?
I think this summer, I think.
Right, this summer, okay. Oh, yeah. So let's imagine this guy, most of us are American here, so let's take an American, right? He's been training for 100 meters run, right? They probably do that in less than 10 seconds nowadays, probably.
Yeah.
Once it was like 10 seconds. Now it's how much? 9.5 or something? I don't know, right? Okay, so this guy's running and he's practicing. And he basically does it in... How much is it? How much people do it?
I think the world record is 937.
937, okay. Okay.
Done it.
All right. So this guy, with his trainer, he's doing it in 9.3. It's something like 9.3, 9.29. He's doing it in 9.3. He's going to win the gold medal. And he's training and he's working at it. Because these guys, you know, you have to be training. You can't. One day you slough it off, you're going to be 9.4 the next day, right? He's in full training every day. He's happy, he's looking forward to it, he's going to go run for the Olympics. He gets into his car, goes and goes home, he's married, he's happy, everything's good with him. Comes a lorry, boom, bashes into him, crippled for life. He's not going to do the Olympics. That's a pretty big difficulty. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
What's that guy going to do now? He's in a wheelchair. He's still cognitively there. He can't walk. He can barely move his hands. And he's crippled for life. That's it. This amazing... It's on the national newspapers. We lost the gold medal. Right, you know, the whole, everyone's reading this, everyone's a sob story for the whole of America, right? This is a difficulty. Okay? That's it. What's this person's outlook? Now, obviously, he's going to a psychologist, he's depressed, right? Now, let's give answers to this question. What answers should we give this guy? Now, can we answer why this happened? Can we play him God? Can anyone come and tell him, hey, look, guy, it was good that this happened to you. You know, I had a shiur in Machon Shlomo about difficulties, and a person only gets simcha from difficulties. It must be this was good for you. You know what he'll do to you? He'll kick you out of the house. And rightly so. So, what is the rabbi talking about? I'm talking a lot of baloney. So why did God do that to him? I mean, these things don't happen. Worse happens. So how can I be talking? I mean, like, I'm so simple, such a stupid idea. What are we talking about?
I mean, there's no way to predict why Hashem did something, but perhaps maybe it made him realize that his career isn't the end-all, be-all. Maybe the gold medal shouldn't replace his family life. Maybe it puts him in a position where now, instead of spending only 20 minutes a day with his kids, he has to spend his entire day with his kids because he's bedridden.
He's still got a family. Okay,
He's still got a lot to live for.
All right. So you're going to be a good psychologist. Say, look, you have a family, you still have what to live for. That's the main things in life. Winning a gold medal is not the main thing in life. How many major athletes, when you go to their tombstones, have written there that they got a gold medal in the Olympics? How many do you think?
That's a good question.
Too many.
I don't know.
Hmm?
I think the...
Probably a few.
What do you think? What would you think? Would you think it's the right thing to write? Would you, if you were a gold medalist in the Olympics, and you were 120, and someone was saying a eulogy about you, would you put there 31, at the age of 21, 22, a gold medal and in the Guinness Book of Records of getting a 100 meters dash at 9.3 seconds. Is that something you would write on your eulogy or on your tombstone? Would that be you guys? Forget him. You guys, would you write that?
Is that what I would
no.
write?
No. Okay. Hello, right? When it was on the Wall Street Journal, or whatever they call it, New York Times, and this tragedy happened, right? They were, that's front lines. What would you put on your tombstone? Family, your wife, your kids, the people you helped, right? The influence in a good way you had in society. Can this guy still do that in the wheelchair?
Of course he can.
Right.
I don't think so, we really discount the gold medal idea, though. I mean, it's pretty big.
But I agree. I'm not saying we discount it. I'm just saying, let's get life into perspective. Something I don't write on my tombstone can't be something I'm living for. So it means what was taken from me might be something important, but it's not my life. You with me? What is my life now? Now, I'm going to pretend and project this life of this person. It doesn't have to be Jewish. So let's just make a life for him. We can project it. So he spoke to a psychologist. He spoke to his wife. His wife told him how much she loved him. His kids told him how much he loved them. Right? They want their daddy back. He's cognitively there. He can talk to them. Right? Mm-hmm. What happens now? Time goes by. You know, he gets himself back into shape as much as he can. He was an athlete, right? You know, his arms are now working. Things are happening for him, right? He now decides that he's going to teach other people how to cope with life's difficulties. So who are people who are like him? Cripples like him. So he meets other cripples. He talks. He tells them. He's a
public speaker.
He's a public speaker. He can talk. He can sing, right? He decides he's going to invent. Now, you know, I'm making, like, you know, this could be a nice, you know, Hollywood make a nice thing out of this. He'll now invent Cripple Olympics. I'm sure there is now, right? Yes,
Paralympics? They've had it for years.
What is it called?
The Paralympics.
Paralympics. Okay, so he'll be one of these guys with the Paralympics. Now it'll be the 100 dash in a wheelchair. And he'll train for that. But is it a tremendous human feat to go in a wheelchair, right? Not an electric one, to go in a wheelchair 100 meters in, I don't know what, 20 seconds?
Probably.
What's the record?
Right. We don't know. Okay, whatever the record is. It doesn't make a difference. Right, okay. But whatever. It's not like he's not doing it because it's a tremendous human feat of look what a cripple can do, right? But what's the vote? What is he teaching these people? How to live a normal life and to live a full life as you can, even if you're crippled. And he's giving over something to people, something with content, which he would not have been able to do. When that person reaches 120, he's not going to go to his deathbed with a gold medal. He's going to go to the deathbed with what? That he helped people to cope with life. Is that more than a gold medal or smaller than a gold medal? I think it's much more.
You say a real life example. Lance Armstrong was the most promising cyclist in the entire world.
Cyclist, right?
And he was diagnosed simultaneously with testicular, brain, and lung cancer. They said his career was over. And then he wound up winning 7 Tour de France's in a row and started the biggest cancer foundation on the planet.
Okay. So you see, there are things like that, right? But what made that person into doing that? It's a will and acceptance of what's happening and then working to overcome that. And that brings you to a higher level of simcha. You with me? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have lives that failed. You can have a guy who that happened to and he became a depressive. And he, you know, lost himself and his wife divorced him and his kids. And he was, you know, he died in some sort of, you know, he died young and finished. You could have that. The difference between the two is the acceptance of it. And the acceptance is realizing, I mean, from a religious point of view, realizing this is God's will. God's coming into your life. He's speaking to you here. How are you going to overcome it? Now that's a difficult one. That's a real difficult one. We can see even in the most difficult ones, we can understand them. We can get at a higher level of connection with who we really are. So if we can understand the most difficult ones, right, we can understand the smaller ones as well. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the answer. So any smaller ones, I don't know, we can pick. I wanted to get into college X, and I got into college Y. I wanted this girl to marry me, and she didn't marry me. I wanted to get this job, and I didn't get it. I mean, those are small ones.
We're talking about external things, though, kind of. Like, you wanting something and not working out.
Yeah, okay, but it could be, I don't know, give me something else. Anything, even
not like a challenge of eating kosher or something like that.
That can also be a challenge. That can also, you now that you have to eat kosher, so that means there's certain friends who you can't go out with. And those are good friends, and how are you going to explain it? You're going to come around with your sandwich and sit in this plush restaurant, and they're going to have a nice meal, and you're not going to enjoy it. They're having fun, and you feel a bit out of it, and you're nibbling a sandwich, and they're having, you know, if they're good friends, they're not going to make fun with you, but, you know, you feel out of it. That's also a challenge. But now, let's think about these friends of yours. Now, you're still keeping friendly with them, you're still in contact with them, you're still pushing all the way, right? And that's a challenge for you. You overcame that. You sat for a principle. How do those people look at you? How do they look at you? Forget how you look at yourself. How do you think those people look at you? They think you're an idiot.
Sometimes.
They think, yes, sometimes. Most of the time, the thinking people amongst them and the people who are your real friends will respect you. Even they don't understand why you can't eat this piece of whatever that you ate yesterday, but they know you're living for something and they respect that you're living for something. There's a tremendous respect. Not many people can live for something and fully. They have a lot more respect for you. How do you feel about yourself? You have self-control. I mean, you want to have that nice food and you know how it tastes. And your mouth is dribbling, right? And you have this dry sandwich with some sort of salami thing inside there, right? Which isn't this gourmet cooking that's put in front of you. And you'll have self-control. You gained or you lost? You gained. Challenges in life will build you. They'll build you, and the people who are true friends will respect you more. And those who aren't, they can't have that fun with you. That means, okay, so this object that I had fun with, I can't have fun with, so I discard him. That's not a good friend. That's not a friend, I wouldn't say that's an a priori, that's a person you have fun with. So they no longer have fun with you, so they'll have someone else to have fun with. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So those are small challenges in a certain way, but they're also big challenges. At the moment when you have those challenges, those are big ones. They're no smaller than any other challenges. It's how you view them. But when you overcome them, you're climbing Everest. And you do. You feel the same thing when you finish there. You might feel, oh, I'm losing out on my friends. You'll gain something else about yourself, which is much more than that. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
What if there's an individual friend of ours, either secular, non-observant, non-Jewish person, they have some issues in their life, and they just start venting? What's the best way of going about, like, being there for them?
You have to empathize. You can't tell a person where you have to get over. You have to empathize. First of all, sometimes when a person vents, just to listen to them and let them empathize and say, yeah, I understand, it's terrible. You know, you have to let them, you have to feel them out. You can't, you know, you have to empathize.
Right. I mean,
and then when you finish empathizing, you have to know the person if you can take it. And then, because if you tell a person, well, you know, just snap out of it, it might be cruel.
Mm-hmm.
You have to empathize, and if you're close enough, then you can give advice. But you have to wait for him to wanting your advice. In the beginning, when a person vents out, he doesn't want advice. He wants just to, you know, oh, that's terrible. He wants to hear from you, like, empathy. Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, I really hear that. It's terrible how that person could do that to you, or how that could happen. Yeah, I don't understand myself.
Depends
who it is, you know?
Right, I understand that. I guess from my perspective, because I'm more observant than most, virtually everyone I know, and they know that I have faith in certain ways, And then they
they will look to you for strength.
Well, no, they relate it to God maybe somehow, especially the
So how could God do this, right? How could God do this to me?
Right, something along those lines.
Yeah, it's like a tie knot on God. It's like a claim against God.
Right.
So you say, yeah, I don't understand myself.
Right.
You can't, you have to understand something, you can't explain to other, a person has to understand for himself, you can't explain. So he says, look, God does things too difficult. Look, if you go and, like some people ask this question, you were difficulties like the Holocaust. You go into a Holocaust survivor who lost their family, and you go and say, well, God did that and it was for your good. If you go and tell that, you're a shagetz. Not only a shagetz, you're over an isser of onah.
What's a
shagetz? You're an idiot. You're like a complete fool.
Beyond.
Right, beyond, right? A shagetz is like,
disconnected from
you talk about it. I'm sorry.
A shagetz is a goyish man. It's the opposite of a shiksa.
Oh, I didn't know. That's a good word. It means you don't know what you're talking about.
You're right.
It means you don't know what you're talking about. Okay.
Close enough.
It's close enough, all right. You know what you're talking about. That's what it means. I don't know if that's what I mean, but that's what I meant. Okay.
So what if the people that you're being driven from by whatever the situation is, you said, you gave the example, okay, maybe these aren't such good friends. So the fact that you have to do these things, if they're not your friends anymore, then that's their problem. What if those people are family?
They won't be your family?
It's that you are now...
Won't your personal family, like your wife and kids, or you mean your parents?
Parents, brothers, sisters.
I don't think that'll go away. If you have a good relationship with your family. If you don't have a good relationship with your family, you might have to start working on your relationship. Look, these are individual questions, how you do these specific things, right? We're not going to individual, we're giving rules. Each one has their individual questions, and that's an individual thing. We'll meet and we'll talk. But in general, right, that's their view of life. Now, if a person was a Holocaust survivor, there's certain things, like you were saying before, there's no way that can be explained. There's no way you can explain that. There's no way you can say this is suffering that I understand. That person has to come to a realization himself. He was given that, he has to come to a realization. If he doesn't, look, I don't know. I mean, there's a famous psychologist, Viktor Frankl, talking about meaning, that the only way to overcome suffering is meaning. And I wanted to do that today. I want to say it a little bit different. I want to say that meaning and purpose is the only way that you don't feel suffering, i.e., what we're saying is, the meaning and purpose, the suffering is that which brings you simcha when you have the meaning and purpose. That's what we're saying here.
That's where the expressor and expressee comes into play?
Yeah.
The purpose?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Purpose is the direction. When the difficulties, right, is like a steer is making that purpose seem very difficult. And you were trying to climb to here. Mm-hmm. Where our purpose is to be X. Those difficulties are God speaking to us and giving us those difficulties so that we reach our purpose, i.e. the overcoming of that suffering, the overcoming of that ridge in our life brings us to the purpose. That's God direct talking to us to come to that purpose. You with me? So whenever you have a difficulty in life, it's not something you should look for. When it comes to you, that should be a direction of your purpose. I.e. overcoming that difficulty will bring you to your closeness and to your purpose in your life. People who have difficult lives usually are deep people, those who overcome those difficulties. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to make you a deeper person and a closer to Him. And you'll get those difficulties in life. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu leaves you alone. That's very bad news. If you have an easy life and it's all going smooth and easy and your life is one big smoothie, bad news. It's bad news. There's no interaction. There's no interaction with your Creator. That's a purposeless life. This is not a life of just, you know, Hawaii sipping smoothies.
But can't things that come to you beneficially in life that you see and believe were sent to you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can't that be an interaction with
it? Of course, yeah. Of course, you, everything in life, like I told you, Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and
Olam
HaBa comes through difficulties. Those are the three things that everyone has to have in their lives. I'm not saying you have to live in Eretz Yisrael.
Should I be concerned if my life is too easy? I should be looking for problems?
No, you shouldn't be looking for problems. Lohem velo sham, you shouldn't be looking for them. But I don't believe you. Certainly, I don't believe.
I'm not saying I can't think of things in my life that aren't hard.
I don't believe that anyone has an easy life. Some people might be easier, some people are less easier. But everyone has difficulties in their lives. I don't believe there is such a person who doesn't have some difficulties in their lives. Maybe I'm wrong, but I can't. To date, I haven't met such a person. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe you guys will tell me differently. But you're with what I'm saying? Now I'm going to explain to you. Now I'm going to give an analogy. But this analogy is a very simple analogy. But I think these are the qualities that a person requires simcha. So I'm going to give a very simple. You guys know there's an ice cream parlor down the road? Yeah, you guys know it?
Yeah.
You don't? Oh, come on. He doesn't know he's an ice cream parlor. Where have you been? You don't know? I don't know. It's cool, I'll tell you. Okay, it's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know.
It's far.
Okay, we're going to do other difficulties. Okay. What type of... Okay, let's go. What ice cream do you like?
I mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip, okay. Right.